Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And, Wes, we have a kind of a season review segment here to introduce to the fans. We have a piece on Packers.com that's called Peak Performances. It's a selection of five top individual performances from the opening segment of the season, games 1 through 4. It'll be a weekly segment on the website with each section of the season going forward chronologically. So we thought we'd take an episode here and review those five selections, those five peak performances from the first four games of the season, and then be ready because at the end of the show I'm going to ask for your favorite. Because fans, you can vote for your favorite on the website. There'll be a poll to select your favorite each week as these segments move along. So games 1 through 4, Wes, and the first individual performance that's been highlighted was cornerback Demarius Randall in Jacksonville in the opener. We remember the heat and humidity down there. And, of course, the game coming down to 4th and 1 from the 14-yard line. Packers needed to get a stop to preserve the season-opening victory. And Randall made a really nice play on that bubble screen outside to wide receiver Allen Hurns and allowed kind of a host of teammates to come in and get that big fourth down stop.
Yeah, Demarius Randall, the only player on the Packers' side of the field that was wearing sleeves on that day, said he's going to wear sleeves. If it's 100 degrees out, if it's negative 20, he's always going with sleeves, and made a lot of noise in that contest. And you go back to the end of that, one of the big points of emphasis throughout the offseason program for the Packers was the convergence, you know, the following through on tackles and, you know, really rallying to the football. And that was really the epitome of it. I mean, that was sort of the thing that I think all the defensive coaches were happy to see. Because, yeah, you did have Demarius Randall make such a great play on that ball, but then you saw Joe Thomas come in, Micah Hyde. So many different people got involved with that play. And at a big point in the game, I mean, that's the thing that's interesting about Demarius Randall. For being as young as he is, he's had some really marquee moments in his career when you think back to 2015 against San Diego.
Yeah, the Chargers game.
And then came up big again against Jacksonville. And that was a Jaguars team, Mike, that really came in with a full head of steam, wanting to really make an impact and make a name for themselves. And the Packers, thanks to that play, were able to hold them off.
Yeah, the score was 27-23 at the time there of that big fourth down stop. And make no mistake, the Randall wasn't selected for the performance here just for the one play. He actually had a season-high 7 tackles right in the game, broke up 2 passes, including a deep ball down the right sideline, I believe it was, to Allen Robinson, the big 6'4 or so, 6'3", 6'4 receiver for the Jaguars, who was a tough customer to handle there, and Randall broke up that play. And as you said, Wes, this was a Jacksonville team that put a lot into this game. They looked at this game, the Green Bay Packers, a playoff contender from the NFC, coming down to Florida for the season opener. This was their Super Bowl. This was the game that was going to launch them, that was going to declare them as contenders in the AFC. And we heard right after the game Gus Bradley telling the media that that his locker room was completely crushed when they lost this game. And to come within 14 yards of that game-winning touchdown, just needing 1 yard to convert a first down and give Blake Bortles 4 more cracks at the end zone to try to get that victory. And it didn't happen, and Demarius Randall had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, we talk so much about culture, you know, building a culture, building a foundation, and how difficult that is to do. I mean, Jacksonville came into the season with a lot of high expectations, and I think in some ways you could say that they almost kind of crumbled underneath those high expectations a little bit. I mean, because it really had been so long since they've had a winning team. I think it's been now almost a decade since they've been to the playoffs, so there was really a big goal for them this year to make that next jump. I know a lot of teams were kind of expecting, a lot of pundits were expecting them to be the team that kind of emerges maybe as a potential playoff candidate. That didn't happen. From the Packers' perspective, though, this was kind of the epitome of the entire season for them, because this was the first time they faced adversity. 62 snaps in, Sam Shields goes down with the concussion. When you talk about Demarius Randall, yeah, a lot of big plays along the course of that game, but that was the first time the secondary had to react without their veteran leader, a guy
that's right,
had, you know, 4 more seasons of experience than anybody else at that cornerback position. So that was one area where they were certainly tested, and when it came down the stretch, the defense responded, and that's one of the reasons why they were able to walk out of there with the victory.
Definitely. Well, we've got plenty more peak performances from games 1 through 4 to talk about. We'll be back with those on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz there, and we're reviewing the top five peak performances from the first four games of the 2016 season for the Packers, Wes. And performance number two, staying on the defensive side here, chronologically speaking, at Minnesota in week two, Mike Daniels was a one-man wrecking crew for this Green Bay Packers defense against the Vikings. The opening of U.S. Bank Stadium, first regular season game in the new palace there in Minneapolis. And the thing that impressed me the most about this performance by Daniels was he lined up everywhere on the defensive line. He lined up against every single one of those offensive linemen for the Minnesota Vikings, and he could beat every single one of those guys.
My favorite memory from that game was actually Mike Daniels was a captain. It's the first game, you know, at the new stadium there in Minnesota. Daniels was a captain, and when they showed everybody lined up, Daniels did not let his eyes leave Adrian Peterson. It was such an emotional, kind of really energetic moment.
Yeah, that halftime meeting there, midfield meeting there, yeah.
It was such an incredible scene because, you know, I think this was big for him, and this was a run defense that got off to a great start. This was their big test. And Adrian Peterson ended up, I think it was 12 carries for 19 yards in that contest. The Packers completely shut down Minnesota's running game. And then you look at Daniels, the impact he made not only against the run, but also getting a sack of Bradford. He had a lot of impactful games this season, but this is one that I think when you really think of the 2016 campaign for Mike Daniels really stands out.
Yeah, I think a couple of things here with Mike Daniels. You mentioned the sack that he had of Bradford. He also had four quarterback hits in that game. A couple of times where he was right on top of Bradford as Bradford was just getting rid of the ball. But he knocked Minnesota's quarterback around, and I think in a lot of ways that game the Packers exposed a little bit of a weakness there of Minnesota's offensive line that other teams, as the season went along, really exploited that weakness. And the Vikings had some injury problems up front there as well as the season continued. But also with Daniels, we saw if there were games during the season that Daniels did not have as steady of an impact, a lot of times it was because opposing offensive lines were double-teaming him because they look at the film of what happened in Minneapolis, and it was like, well, we can't let this guy just dominate the line of scrimmage like that.
Well, I think one thing you've seen in the NFL, Mike, at this point in time is it's no longer, pass rushing just doesn't come off the edges anymore. It comes in so many different ways. And getting a push through the middle, not only does that free up your linebackers behind the defensive tackles, but it also is sort of an extra credit in a way. And that's the biggest thing that's impressed me about Daniels in his five seasons with the Packers now. This is a guy who came into the NFL. Everybody said he's sawed off. He's going to be a rotational rusher. He'll give you some pass rush, but he's not a complete football player. And I think he's proven the exact opposite of that. And this was a great test to that in being able to really exploit that interior of the Vikings, which I think, as you saw throughout the course of the season, was kind of a weakness for them. And as Mike Zimmer even admitted throughout the course of the season. So for Daniels to have that performance, I think really set the tone for the way the run defense got off to the start of the season, but also being able to get some of that interior pressure to kind of take some of the pressure off of those outside backers.
Yeah, definitely. Well, moving on to performance number three, unfortunately, performance number two was in a loss, a three-point loss there in Minnesota. But performance number three, running back Eddie Lacy against Detroit. It's easy to forget, with Lacy having gone on injured reserve and missing the bulk of the season, that in that week three victory over the Lions, he had a 100-yard rushing performance, which was actually the Packers' only 100-yard rushing day until Ty Montgomery in Chicago late in the season surpassed 100 yards. But Lacy busted off a 25-yard run in the second quarter as part of a touchdown drive. And then in the third quarter, he was fed the ball four consecutive plays, 8, 6, 7, 9 yards. I mean, just chewing up yards and moving the chains. 17 carries for 103. It was Eddie Lacy pretty close to at his best.
Well, I wrote a story back when you go to the preseason about how the Packers really had put an emphasis on running the football. That was evident with the way that they were, not even just with their running backs, but training their offensive linemen to have that mentality. Mike McCarthy made it a big point of emphasis this year with Eddie Lacy doing everything he did to reshape himself, that they were really going to put an emphasis on that side of the equation. And it really paid off, I thought. He was off to the best start of his career before that injury. I mean, 5.1 yards per carry over the first five games. In the performance he had against the Lions, I think really showed, once again, what Eddie Lacy can do when he's at his best. And not just, you know, big carries or big breakthrough plays. It's just the consistency, 7 yards, 8 yards, 9 yards. When Eddie Lacy is right, that's what he gives you. And man, when you're talking about winning the field position and, you know, down and distance, he goes a long way into achieving that. They did it against the Lions.
Yeah, and this game actually came down to one final possession for the Packers on offense. The Packers had built a huge lead. The Lions made a big comeback. It's 34-27 in the fourth quarter. The Packers have the ball. They need to get one last first down to be able to kneel out the clock. And on, I believe it was on a second down play, yeah, Eddie Lacy takes the handoff and with the help of his blockers and kind of the pile of bodies there, plows ahead for 9 yards, gets the first down, and the Packers kneel out a victory to improve to 2-1. And at the time, you would have thought that maybe that was the rushing game formula we were going to see the rest of the way.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was exactly what you thought you were going to see, because they started dabbling a little bit with Ty Montgomery in the backfield. You had James Starks there as the steady number two to Lacy. I don't think it would have been really difficult to project that things would have taken the course that they did throughout the, you know, throughout the season. But be that as it may, that is what the Packers had to do. And obviously it ended up not being the Lacy and Stark show. For the most part, it was the Ty Montgomery show in the second half of the season.
Yeah, well, with that, Wes, we've got performances 4 and 5 to talk about after the break. Back with that on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, moving on to peak performances 4 and 5 from the first four games of the 2016 season. For performance number 4, we're sticking with the third game against Detroit, but on the defensive side of the ball, outside linebacker Nick Perry.
Yeah.
Really gave us a taste in this game of the type of season he was going to have. I remember in the first quarter, he was in the backfield a number of times against the run. I believe he had 3 tackles for loss in the opening quarter. Then in the fourth quarter, with the Lions trying to mount that rally late in the game, he had 2 sacks of quarterback Matt Stafford. Just a real tone setter, in a sense, in the early stages of the season for the type of year that Nick Perry was about to have.
Yeah, and we had heard all offseason, Mike, about Nick Perry, the fact that he's healthy for the first time. There were no offseason surgeries. There were no delays in his preparation and his progress. And for the first time in 4 NFL seasons, it was remarkable, he actually was able to participate in the offseason program. There wasn't some kind of injury that impeded that. And I think when you saw him get off to the start that he did this year, you really saw the value in that and the benefit of it. At that point in the season, already had 3.5 sacks. And throughout the course of the year, when he ended up leading the team with 11, he was so consistent. And when the defense really needed him, they needed somebody to step up, especially with Clay Matthews dealing with that hamstring injury, Nick Perry really answered the bell there, and I think showed everybody that he was a first-round draft pick, that he did have that ability, and he could be a game-changing pass rusher.
Yeah, and we'll see what the future holds for Nick Perry. As we talked about on the show last week, he's a pending free agent. We don't really know if the Packers will bring him back or if he'll perhaps move on somewhere else. That's a wait-and-see situation. But a guy who gets 11 sacks in the regular season, and a few of those with his hand wrapped in a club, yeah, and whatnot. I mean, his production when he was healthy was impressive to watch.
It was, and you felt good for him. I mean, this is a guy.
Yeah, no question.
When he's been in the locker room, he's never been terse with anybody. He's never really taken an attitude. He's always just been very steady. And I think for once, you really actually start to be able to get more to the core of Nick Perry and who this guy is, because every question wasn't about, hey, how are you feeling this week? Hey, how's the knee? How's the wrist? How's the shoulder? How's the foot? It was about, hey, what do you think about what you're building here? And when the Packers, again, as I said, they didn't have Clay Matthews for a little bit during the stretch due to the hamstring. Julius Peppers was kind of being worked in a new role. Nick Perry needed to be the guy, and he certainly was, especially in that game against the Lions.
Yeah, so the Packers moved to 2-1 with the victory over Detroit. And with that, we'll move on to performance number 5, which is in the fourth game of the season against the New York Giants, Sunday Night Football at Lambeau Field. And wide receiver Randall Cobb, now 9 catches for 108 yards doesn't necessarily leap off the page at you, and he did not have a touchdown in the game. But when you look more deeply into the statistics, Aaron Rodgers only had 23 completions that day, or that night, only had 259 passing yards. For 9 catches and 108 yards to go to one guy, to go to Randall Cobb, really showed how reliable and important he was on a night that overall the offense for the Green Bay Packers was really not at its best.
And I know there were some things that Cobb dealt with throughout the course of the year. The hamstring injury flared up on him. He dealt with an ankle that left him out of the field for 2 weeks at the end of the season. But I thought you saw early, particularly early in the season, the trust factor with Aaron Rodgers and what that young man can do when he's completely healthy. He was a big resource for him because you have to remember, this was the first game where they didn't have Jared Cook. He wasn't available. They needed other playmakers to emerge in the middle of the field. Randall Cobb did exactly that. And again, when you look at him and you know, Jordy Nelson getting back into the rhythm of things, trying to find himself, Cobb needed to be that guy on that day, and he certainly was for the Packers. And I think when you look at really the biggest difference in that contest and why the Packers were able to hold off New York in the long run, Cobb's performance went a long way into getting that done.
Yeah, and it could have actually been an even bigger night for Randall Cobb. I mentioned he didn't get a touchdown. He thought he had a touchdown.
Yeah.
The Packers, Rodgers caught the Giants with 12 men on the field, did the quick snap, and actually threw a touchdown pass to Randall Cobb, but it got called back because the Packers were then called for an illegal shift. They didn't quite have everybody set for that full second before the quick snap. So what was, you know, potentially going to be maybe 125-yard night with a touchdown for Cobb ended up not being quite as sparkling statistically. But it was a night that with the Giants secondary a little bit banged up, the Packers needed somebody to be able to win their matchup against a lesser cornerback, against a backup guy, and Cobb was the guy who was winning that matchup.
Yeah, and Mike, it was probably another month before the Packers really got their, you know, their sales going with the offense, but I thought this was one of those games that you started to see things come out of them a little bit. You started to see what this potentially this group could be once everything started solidifying. And again, as you mentioned with Cobb's performance, I think one of those things is he really stepped up when his team needed him to, and that's kind of been the hallmark of him during this whole 5-6 years now with the Packers.
All right, well, that's all five of our peak performances, and we'll come back to cast our votes for our favorite one. But before that, Wes, we'll take care of some sponsor business. We all know that Green Bay fans are the most devoted fans in the league, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky beef with country vegetables. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game, and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, we've gone through all five peak performances now from the opening quarter of the 2016 season. Demarius Randall at Jacksonville, Mike Daniels at Minnesota, Eddie Lacy and Nick Perry against the Detroit Lions, and Randall Cobb against the New York Giants. So those are the five to choose from, and fans can vote for their favorite in the poll on Packers.com. What's your favorite from this bunch?
Can I get a drum roll? Mike D. Against Minnesota.
All right.
And the reason I say that isn't just because of this performance against the Vikings, even though it was dominant. I think you even wrote about it in the postgame editorial about how dominant he was in that contest. But what impressed me the most is this was still the time, as I mentioned in the last segment, where the offense wasn't clicking 100% yet. They needed the defense to set the tempo earlier this year. And for the defense's perspective, it was the healthiest they were going to be the entire season as it ended up turning out. That run defense, being able to be the league leader on such a record pace, I think it was the fewest rushing yards they allowed in franchise history through the first three games of the year when they went into that week four bye week, was so important, and Mike Daniels was the face of that. So yeah, when you ask me what performance stands out the most, it's definitely Mike Daniels holding Adrian Peterson, who had been, you know, such a big, really annoyance for this Packers defense so many years. When you think of the big games he's had against them, 12 carries for 19 yards. Now, mind you, he did leave with an injury. But even when Jerick McKinnon came in, even when Matt Asiata came in, as it ended up being the same situation on Christmas Eve, the Vikings never were able to get that running game established, and I think that really took them really out of their rhythm the rest of the year.
Yeah, and it's important not to forget a performance like that of Daniels, even though it was in a loss, how big it was, because really the way the defense performed and with the way he performed up front gave the Packers a chance to win
absolutely
a big ball game when a lot of things really weren't going right on the other side of the ball. for my favorite out of this bunch, to pick a different one, I'm going to go with Eddie Lacy against the Lions. And I don't want this to turn into, you know, a thing of like, oh, what might have been with Eddie Lacy and whatnot. But boy, when you look at that game, 6 yards per carry, 17 carries for 103 yards. He had the four consecutive carries to open a drive in the third quarter that went for 30 yards, where it just looked like the Lions, they weren't going to stop him unless they put 10 guys in the box, you know. And I really liked what Eddie did there. The compliment that he brought to the offense, because that was the first game also that Aaron Rodgers kind of found his rhythm a little bit, you know, started hitting some throws to Jordy Nelson. The Packer offense started to look like that Packer offense from 2014 with Lacy and Rodgers and everything clicking there for a while. And I know it didn't materialize that way with Lacy going down with an injury a week or two later. But boy, that was that one was fun to watch.
Sam Shields, I think, when you look at the 2016 season, was probably the biggest loss for the Packers, just because of what it meant for the cornerbacks. But Eddie Lacy was definitely something that set them back when he did go down, because of the way he was performing. And again, when you look at that game against the Lions, when the offense wasn't doing everything 100% and when they weren't really able to find their absolute rhythm, they needed that running game to get going. I mean, that's ultimately what carried them in 2013 when Rodgers went down with the collarbone, was getting Eddie Lacy established, and he became the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year that season. I think he was on pace for a really nice, solid comeback season. If you could add him and Jordy Nelson, it would have been really interesting to see what they could have done in the long run. But unfortunately, those are if questions, and it didn't work out that way.
Yeah, and I really like the way the Packers closed out this victory against the Lions. I know there was the huge comeback and whatnot, but when everybody in the stadium knows who's getting the ball to get that last first down, and he plows ahead and gets it, that says something about what you got on the offensive side of the ball. But with that, Wes, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted and the first segment of Peak Performances. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hod. I'm at Mike Spofford. The team account is at Packers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, and we'll see you next time.